This morning, with our first sermon of 2019, I'd like to step away for one more week from our current series in the Gospel of Mark to draw our attention to something specific about God, to an important metaphor or picture of God that runs throughout the entire Bible and that I think is particularly encouraging and important at transitional times in life, such as the start of a new year. Now, when you start thinking about God and metaphors or pictures that the Bible uses of God, there are a lot of them. And all of them are encouraging in one way or another. You know, we read things like, God is our rock, or God is our fortress or refuge. He's our shield. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And many more. But one of the most encouraging and instructive pictures in the Bible, and really one of the most frequent that you see throughout the Bible, is the one we just sang about from perhaps the most famous psalm, Psalm 23. And it's in that very first line. The Lord is my shepherd. See, when we look back to the previous year and we think of all the things that have transpired, both good things and hard things, what has the Lord been to you in all of those circumstances? If you know the Lord, if the Lord knows you, then you can say, the Lord has been my shepherd. He's been with you every step of the way, through every unexpected turn in the road, in every time of rest and joy, success over the last year, in every time of danger, anxiety, trouble. He's been with you in every one of those times. Protecting, providing, sustaining, defending. The Lord has been our shepherd. That's true of you as an individual. That's true of you as a family. That's true of us as a church. And it's this truth that the Lord has been our shepherd that can give us hope and joy, rest and courage as we move into a new year, is that the Lord is still our shepherd. And so we know that he will be with us to guide us, direct us, and to love us every step of the new year. Both the unexpected things and the expected things that will happen this year, the encouraging things that are in store for us, and the discouraging things that we maybe have no idea about. We can know that the Lord will be our shepherd in those days too. And it's that idea, that biblical picture of God as shepherd that I want to put before us this morning. And I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about this picture very much. I mean, maybe you thought at least of Psalm 23, but I don't know if you've pondered how often this is in the Bible. Or if you've ever even just stepped back to think, like, where did that idea come from? Like, what? Have you ever wondered why we started to call ourselves sheep? I mean, we kind of have this church lingo that we can use about, and so it doesn't really, like, sound odd to us to say, we are sheep. Okay? But I don't know if somebody, you know, doesn't go to church at all. Like, if you started to say, you know, we're the sheep. I mean, think of this. How often do you refer to yourself as any other animal? This is just not normal to talk about ourselves as animals. So where does this idea come from? It's part of what I want to do today, is to think about that as well. And so where does the idea come from in the Bible? Where do we first see it? That God is a shepherd, that we, his people, are sheep. And you could even ask, on top of that, where do we first see anything about shepherds, even human shepherds, literal sheep? In the Bible. So you don't have to go very far. You can open up to the book of Genesis, and we're going to look at a lot of different texts today, kind of tracing this idea. Who's the first shepherd mentioned in the Bible? Anyone know? The first one is Abel, the second son of Adam and Eve, the same son that Cain, Abel's brother, murders in the fourth chapter of the Bible. Genesis 4, verse 2 says, Abel was a keeper of sheep. So there you have a shepherd and sheep by the fourth chapter. Now, as you follow the story of Genesis, it's clear that Abraham also had a lot of sheep, even if we might not call him a shepherd per se. But as we move past Abraham, it's clear that Abraham's offspring become known as people who take care of sheep. This is especially the case when we get to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and his 12 sons. In fact, it's interesting that even Jacob's wife, Rachel, was a shepherdess. Jacob and his family knew sheep, and they're pretty much known in the ancient Near East by everybody as sheep people, okay? In fact, if you remember the story of Jacob's son, Joseph, you might remember how Joseph is betrayed by his brothers, but through this, God raises Joseph up in Egypt to a place of leadership, so much so that later on in Joseph's life, Joseph is able to rescue his father and his brothers and bring them down to Egypt and provide land for them. But what's interesting is that when they're coming down, Joseph needs to go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he wants to make sure that his family will get a good land for all of their livestock and their sheep. And so this is what he tells them, his brothers, to say to Pharaoh whenever Pharaoh talks with them about what they do. And so I want you to see this in Genesis chapter 46. So look at Genesis chapter 46. And if you look at verse 31, we'll read a couple verses here. So Genesis 46, verse 31. Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And notice he says, and the men are shepherds. That is what the family does. Now verse 33, he says to his brothers, so when Pharaoh calls you and says, what's your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Now that's interesting, perhaps, but what does this have to do with anything? I've just wanted us to see that from the earliest pages of the Bible, God's people are very familiar with shepherding. They know sheep. They know what it's like to care for sheep, to protect sheep, to feed sheep, to make sure that the sheep have good water, to rescue sheep that are wandering away. They know how hard it is to keep sheep in line, keep them healthy, safe. They know how frail and vulnerable sheep are, how foolish sheep often are. They also know what it's like to have sheep know their shepherd's voice. They know what it's like for sheep to be afraid, but then to be comforted when they can see their shepherd or hear his voice. In other words, as we think of the metaphor or the picture of God as shepherd, we have to keep in mind that the Jewish people understood shepherding and sheep. We, on the other hand, come to a metaphor like this, and we may not sense the power of the picture of God as shepherd. Why is that? Because most of us, I think it's safe to say, don't make a living being shepherds in the fields of Minnesota. So this brings us then to the specific issue that we're looking at today. It's one thing to talk about human shepherds, literal sheep. But where is the first time in the Bible that picture, which is that story, that reality of sheep and shepherds that everybody in God's people understands. Where is that first transferred then to God and his relationship with his people? You only have to go about another two chapters in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 48. The words come from the mouth of Jacob, Joseph's dad. Jacob is very old now. He has had a life full of hardship and trouble. Many of those things he brought on himself, actually. At the end of his life, though, Jacob is reunited with his lost son, Joseph, who Jacob thought was dead for 13 years. Jacob's own sons, the other 11, had sold Joseph into slavery and told Jacob that Joseph was dead. But at the end of Jacob's life, he's reunited with Joseph, and he gets to see Joseph's sons, his grandsons, for the first time. And in that context, at the end of his life, he calls Joseph and his grandsons to him because he wants to give them a blessing before he dies. And this is what he says. Genesis 48, verse 15. And he, that's Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on." Now, did you see it there? That's the first time in the Bible that God is talked about as a shepherd. Jacob says, "God has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." Maybe you're not too familiar with Jacob. It's worth noting that Jacob's life was filled with a lot of sin, deception, and suffering. Much of that suffering came from what he had done, the sins he had committed as a young man. Jacob's path through life was anything but smooth. He went through many dark valleys. But now, at the end of his life, as he's about to walk through the last valley, the valley of the shadow of death, what does Jacob testify to his grandsons that he has learned about God? "That God has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." Now, as we move past Genesis, we don't see much about God being a shepherd. But one thing that is clear as you read on, especially through Exodus and further on, is that God, though he is the shepherd of his people, he wanted to raise up specific shepherds, human shepherds, to shepherd his people for him. And one of those, the main one in Exodus that God raised up, was a man named Moses. And one of the clearest ways to see this about Moses is to actually go to the end of Moses' life. To look at the book of Numbers, so a few books later, you could look at Numbers chapter 27. Moses himself is now an old man. He has been leading God's people for almost 40 years. He's over 100 years old. And as Moses, God tells Moses, "Moses, you're going to die. You're not going to go into the promised land. You will not lead this people into the land," because Moses had rebelled against the Lord. So Moses is thinking about this, these people that he has cared for, that he has led for all of these years, for decades. And he pleads with God at the end of his life for God to raise up somebody else to lead the people. And I want you to listen to how Moses talks about it with the Lord. Moses says this in Numbers 27, verse 15. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them and bring them in." Why? so that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. See, Moses has been the shepherd. God is appointed to care for Israel. And so when he is about to die, he pleads with God to raise up someone else in his place so that God's people won't become like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if you just take even those few thoughts, that pretty much gives you the picture that's in the Bible of God as shepherd, of God's people who understand the metaphor really well because they are so familiar with sheep, and that God intends to raise up human shepherds to shepherd his people for him. There isn't really much to add to that picture until you go hundreds of years later to a young man who starts out as nothing more than a shepherd, a lowly shepherd in Bethlehem, who's out taking care of some of his father's sheep. That young man is named David. And perhaps you've heard the story maybe of when God first calls David. Do you remember this? God sends his prophet Samuel to go anoint the next king of Israel. And so God sends Samuel, his prophet, to a man named Jesse, to Jesse's house. Jesse lives in Bethlehem. Jesse brings out 7 sons before Samuel. Says, which one of these sons does God want to be the king? Samuel looks at those 7 sons, and he thinks a lot of them look like kings. But God tells Samuel, I haven't picked any of them. And so then Samuel asks Jesse, well, do you have any other sons somewhere? And he says, well, I got the young one. He's out in the field keeping watch over the sheep. And Samuel says, well, bring him. And God says, this is the one that I've chosen. And that was David, who was a shepherd. And so it's very interesting, though. This is what I want to point out about this. When God tells David, a shepherd, right, that I want you to be the next king, I want you to listen to how God talks to him. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 2. Where David's like kind of reflecting back. It's reflecting back on what God told him about what he was going to need to do. 2 Samuel 5, verse 2, we're just going to look at one phrase of what the Lord says to David when he calls him to be the king. He says to David, 2 Samuel 5, 2, you, David, shall be shepherd of my people Israel. See, God calls David a shepherd to be the shepherd of his people, to care for the people, to love the people, to protect the people, to lead the people as God's representative on earth. But here's what I think is even more important about David. It is that David himself recognized that even though God wanted him to shepherd the people, David recognized and confessed and even sang about how he knew that there was a greater shepherd than David. And that's, where do we see that most clearly? That David, the shepherd of Israel, knew himself that there was a greater shepherd than himself. We see that in a text like Psalm 23, which we sang about. And we hear these words where David, the king, the shepherd, sings for the people, and leads the people to sing this song, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. He makes me lie down in the green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is one of the greatest songs ever written. David knew what it was to be a shepherd. And not only that, God called David to be the shepherd of his people, but David confesses and teaches the people to sing that the Lord is the ultimate shepherd of the people of God. So it's with David that we see the culmination of what's in the Old Testament, about how God is our shepherd, We are God's sheep. And then you'll see it throughout the Psalms where this is like a common picture. We are the sheep. God is the shepherd. At this point, for the sake of time, I'm just going to summarize what's in a lot of the rest of the Old Testament about God as shepherd. And for the most part, it's sad. Like most of the Old Testament. You ever read the Old Testament? It's pretty sad, okay? It's mostly sad with like one strand of hope running through the Old Testament. And that's the same way it is with shepherds. Because you can say these couple of things about shepherds the rest of the way, about God as shepherd and so forth. First thing, the human shepherds that God raises up to shepherd his people aren't good enough. Even David himself. For example, within a few chapters, remember that text we read where God says to David, "You shall be my shepherd for this people." Do you know what David does within a couple chapters of that? As the shepherd of God's people? Within a couple of chapters, David covets, and then he steals from one of his servants, from one of the sheep, if you will. He steals the wife of one of them. He commits adultery with that man's wife. And then David actually, in effect, murders his faithful servant, his faithful sheep, if you will, to cover up what he's done. Whether it's Moses or David or the many unfaithful shepherds after David, there's a constant reminder in the Old Testament that the human shepherds God wants to raise up over his people are simply not good enough and not even close. The second big sad idea is that the people, the sheep, who so desperately need a shepherd are really, really sinful. The sheep are stubborn and sinners. And one of the things that anyone who works with sheep knows is how easily sheep get afraid, how they get themselves into danger, how they wander away. And that is certainly what we see with Israel throughout their entire experience. From Moses on, they're constantly wandering after other gods, wandering away from the true shepherd, foolishly pursuing their own paths that will lead them into death. On this, I will just share one verse, perhaps the most revealing verse about this in the Old Testament, from Isaiah 53. You ever heard this verse? Isaiah 53, 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Human beings, the sheep, are way worse than we might think or want to admit. We are way worse than we might want to admit. We are all sinners, having gone astray from God. And this is sad news. This is bad news. And the human shepherds that God raised up to rescue his people and bring them back are sinners just like the sheep. This is sad news and bad news. But like throughout the Old Testament, with the idea of shepherds, there is one strand of hope that runs throughout the Old Testament story. And what is that? It is that God has a plan to raise up a shepherd greater than David, one who will come to seek and to save the sheep and to bring them back to God. Now, there are lots of places you could go in the Old Testament about this, but I'll take you to the single most important chapter about this, I think, in the whole Old Testament. It is in the book of Ezekiel, and I want you to see it, because if you don't know this chapter, it's one of the best chapters in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 34. Turn with me. Ezekiel, kind of in the middle of our Bibles, after Isaiah and Jeremiah. Ezekiel 34. And all of the things come together that we've seen today. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came to me." This is what God said to Ezekiel, his prophet. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." Now, who's he talking about? Just like all the people out in the field working? He's talking about the leaders of God's people. "Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. That's the story of the leaders of Israel in a couple of verses. Then verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. And here's where it comes, the hope in the Old Testament. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths so that they won't be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And then jump down to verse 15. I myself, God says, will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. I'll strengthen the weak. See, this is some of the best news you could ever hear in the Old Testament. It is the promise that God himself, the great shepherd, would come to seek and to save the lost sheep and to bring them back and bind them up. But that's not all the chapter tells us, because this is the key to unlocking the New Testament about what it says about the shepherd. It's in what comes later in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 22. God continues, I will rescue my flock. They will no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And listen to this. And God says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will feed them. He will feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be prince among them. Did you catch that? What's the problem with that? That God says, I'm going to raise up David to be the shepherd. Do you know how long David has been dead when God says this? David's been dead for like 400 years when God says this. But he says, I am going to come and seek and save my sheep, and I'm going to put over them David, who's going to be the shepherd. So if we ask, who's going to shepherd God's people? We could answer, God, and we would be right. Or we could say, but who's going to shepherd God's people? And we could answer, David. But how does that work? It's not clear in the Old Testament. But what we can say is this. When you leave the Old Testament, there is a merging of two ideas. God is going to come to seek and to save the sheep. And David is going to come. Or at least somebody like David and better than David is going to come to seek and to save and to shepherd the sheep. Now, do you see how that might come together in the New Testament? You open up the New Testament, and it's like these texts in the New Testament, they make perfect sense in light of this in the Old Testament. And you don't have to go far. You could look at the book of Matthew. I mean, think of what the wise men, remember the story of the wise men? Maybe you read it at Christmas. Okay. They go to Herod to try to find out, where has this baby king been born? And Herod says, well, let me talk with my religious guys. He talks with the religious guys. Says, where's the king supposed to be born? Do they know? They know exactly where he's supposed to be born, and they quote some verses from the Old Testament. What did they say? He's going to be born in Bethlehem, because it says in the Old Testament, from Bethlehem will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew this. Later in Jesus' ministry, you know what Matthew says about Jesus in Matthew 9? It says Jesus was going throughout the towns and the villages, and he was preaching, and he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and he was healing all the people of their diseases. And then Matthew says, this is what Jesus was like. He says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Do you remember what he says? It's actually referring back to what Moses said. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. More than once, Jesus tells stories of a man having 100 sheep, and how if even one of them goes astray, that man will leave his 99 to go and search for that one that went astray. And then Jesus will talk about the joy that the shepherd has when he finds that one wandering sheep and brings them home, and really of the joy that happens even in heaven over even one sinner who repents and turns to the Lord. Jesus is that kind of shepherd. But how could we think of Jesus as shepherd without coming back to the text that was read this morning, the single greatest chapter in the New Testament about sheep, shepherds, and God's plan to save his sheep? I want to go back there, and I want to end there. In John chapter 10, we've already had some of it read for us, but I want you to read it now with all of this background from the Old Testament in your mind. Think of what Jesus is saying in John 10, verse 11. When Jesus says to Jewish people who know sheep and know all of these texts about sheep, and shepherds, and about what God would do. When Jesus says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When Jesus says that, that image isn't new at all. There is a history throughout the story of Scripture about what he's saying. He is saying, I am the one that the Father has raised up and sent to shepherd the people of God. And as the good shepherd, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. There's nothing Jesus wouldn't do for his sheep. He was willing to give up even his own life to save his sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. Then verse 14, Jesus goes on and he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that aren't of this fold, I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. And there's so much there about Jesus' knowledge of his sheep. He knows us all by name. About the sheep's knowledge of their shepherd. Jesus' ownership of the sheep, his love, his sacrificial care for the sheep, the unity of all of Jesus' sheep, and the reality that there are more sheep. There are more sheep out there in our neighborhoods, communities, workplaces, cities that haven't yet come into the fold. And Jesus wants to bring them in too. This is just a taste. I hope a good taste of the Bible's teaching on God as shepherd. How do these words strike you today? Do they stir your hearts? Do you hear your shepherd's voice in the words of Scripture? I've tried to put before us one big idea, one picture of God as shepherd. Can you confess these words? The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Do you know Jesus? Have you turned from your sin and looked to Jesus as the only one who can save you through his death for your sins and his resurrection? Are you his sheep? Does he know you by name? If Jesus is your shepherd and you're his sheep, let your heart rest in hope. Jesus is with you to the end of the age. But I was thinking this week that this is not just a personal confession that we're called to today. Because Jesus is not only my shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. We who confess Christ all belong to one flock. So let's take heart. Jesus is the one who protected us last year and who will guide us this year. Jesus bought us with his blood. Jesus loved us then, and he loves us still. Jesus knows us, and we know him. And because he's our shepherd and we're his sheep, we know his voice. And so I would challenge us and maybe warn us a bit with the psalm I read earlier today. It actually picks up, I think, on the idea that we are God's sheep and we know the voice of our shepherd. And what did that text say from Psalm 95? So the psalmist says, so today, and every day, if you hear his voice, the voice of your shepherd, if you read the word and you hear God's voice speaking to you, when you gather this year and you hear God's voice through the preaching of the word, today, if you hear his voice, never harden your hearts. Always keep your heart and your ears open to the voice of your shepherd this year. And I assure you, there's no one who loves you and wants your eternal good this year like the Lord, our good and faithful shepherd. Always listen to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing, encouraging picture that you give us in the scriptures and for the truth that the picture teaches us about of your care for us. Thank you for seeking and saving us, calling us. Thank you that you know your people. You know those who are yours. Thank you for opening our ears so we could hear your voice. Oh Lord, I pray for every person here today. I pray that this year, whenever we hear your voice, help us to never harden our hearts towards you, but to always say yes and to follow you in faith wherever you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.